Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
Hello there, fantasy baseball fans. I'm Paul Williamson. This is another episode of Fantasy MLB Today. Thank y'all so much for joining me. This is a Sports Ethos presentation. I am excited to be providing you the pitcher streams yet again. We do this every podcast, y'all. If you're always looking for pitcher streams, always looking to stay ahead and see what potential options you have for today or the next day, listen to this podcast. Real quick note about today's podcast, y'all. We've been having some technical difficulties getting the podcast uploaded. Hopefully you're listening to this podcast at a reasonable time. So for that reason, I'm going to skip today's recap for today's streams. You can always listen to yesterday's podcast if you want the goods on today's streams. But just by the time we work through the technical difficulties, a lot of the early Sunday games will have already started, and what would be the point, right? I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste my time. So we're going to dive right into tomorrow's streams. But first, I gotta tell y'all something exciting that I discovered on accident. I got into work yesterday, and I don't always do this, but man, I brought a Yoo-Hoo with me to work yesterday, y'all. And I left it in the office. I work in a restaurant, right? So I left in the office thinking I'd be right back to drink it. And then, you know, customers showed up and then issues happened and I had to do manager things. And next thing I know, it's like 2 hours later and my Yoo-Hoo got warm. I was not happy. So I said, you know what? I'm going to put this thing in the deep freezer for a little bit, get it nice and cold, and I'll enjoy it. Well, manager things happened again. We got busy. Those pesky customers, came around and wanted food, and I had to work at work. Don't you hate it when you have to work at work? Doesn't that suck? You're just like, I gotta do stuff and things. Ugh. Anyways, so a couple more hours go by, I forget about my Yoo-Hoo again, and then I open up the deep freeze, and there it is, and I'm like, ah, damn. But it ended up being a blessing in disguise because I found it right as it was freezing. So I couldn't drink it right away, but about 30 minutes later, a little shaken, warming up a little bit by shaking it, you know, get some of that frozen Yoo-Hoo to break around and kind of break up the rest of it. And I had a Yoo-Hoo slushy. I had a Yoo-Hoo slushy, and that shit was amazing. I never thought I needed this in my life until that happened. And you know what? I'm going to do it again. This time, I'm going to set a timer so I don't forget, right? So I'm going to put it in the freezer, set a timer for a couple hours, and then when that bad boy goes off, I know that it's going to be beautiful. Because I think it was in there for about 2.5-3 hours. So I think 2 hours would be perfect where it won't get too frozen, and I can just pop that bad boy open and do it. It'll be like a Yoo-Hoo ice cream, y'all. Guys, when I say I'm a fat boy at heart, I'm a fat boy at heart. I'm always looking for crazy random things to eat and try. And, you know, and a frozen Yoo-Hoo I never thought in a million years. You know, you've accidentally frozen, you know, sodas before, right? We all know about that, you know, but my God, I never thought a freaking Yoo-Hoo like that would be great. Guys, I'm going to do it again, and I'll let y'all know in tomorrow's podcast how it goes. How about that? Alrighty, y'all. Let's dig into some begging and groveling from me. Go follow me at Paul_W_34, at Paul_W_34. The advantage to following me is that if you did follow me yesterday, and we had the technical difficulties getting the podcast out, so you didn't know about Cal Quantrill being a fade, Tyler McGill being a fade, I told y'all to fade, and I told y'all to do it. If you were following me on the Twitter, then you would have known, especially Tyler McGill. Whoo! I told y'all the wind was blowing. Well, on the podcast, I did mention it. I said on the podcast, I was like, hey guys, listen for the wind, watch the wind. Tyler McGill allows fly balls, and it happened. He got rocked. Y'all, Always follow me on Twitter. You get additional information. Before I dig more in, I've got to get to our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup playoffs this season, every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get on a game of blackjack or poker. Unwind with one of over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get on the action and use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, the game starts here. Alrighty, y'all. But yeah, dude, so go follow me on Twitter. I give you a little additional context throughout the day, a little bit random thoughts throughout the day, maybe even some hitter information that I don't normally get to throughout the week. So go follow me there. Always follow the Sports Ethos Fantasy Baseball account at Ethos Fantasy BB, at Ethos Fantasy BB. The blurb feed is popping, y'all. I'm going to get off this podcast and do some blurbs, and so that is going to be popping this morning. You're going to be seeing some additional information coming out, so go check out the blurb feed, y'all. Go check out the website, sportsethos.com, for all of our content. Fantasy Pass subscribers get all kinds of information. I mean, you get access to my boy Larry Venosi and his weather information, our daily pickup articles, Anthony Cates weekend review. You got player profiles every Friday from my boy Nathan. Guys, we got it popping over at Sports Ethos. Go check us out. We got what you need. And, you know, you're going to lose your league if you don't listen to us. I guarantee it. All right, y'all. Let's get into tomorrow's streams. Remember, no recap of today's, because by the time the technical difficulties get worked out, it would be too late. So, but if you're itching for information on today's streams, listen to yesterday's podcast, as always. Guys, just want to give you a quick note. I don't normally give this note because it's largely irrelevant, but there are just so many to be announced starters for tomorrow. Let me give you a quick list of the teams that have yet to announce their starter for tomorrow. Baltimore, Philadelphia, Detroit, Seattle, Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh, Toronto, Boston, Atlanta, Texas, Milwaukee, Miami, Los Angeles Dodgers, the Miami Marlins, Washington Nationals, Chicago Cubs, and the San Francisco Giants. Guys, that's a lot of teams. There are a lot of to-be-announced starters. So I'm going based off the probables grid on Fangraphs. And I typically do that anyways, but at any time. But I just kind of noticed it today. I noticed that there were particularly tons of to-be-determined starters on MLB.com's probable list. So keep an eye out on who is actually starting for tomorrow. Some of these names might change after I record. So, but I'm just going to go based on, because Fangraphs probables grid is pretty accurate. It's generally correct. They do a pretty good job over there at Fangraphs. But
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
You know, at the end of the day, it's if the teams can just say fuck it and we're gonna start someone else, and they don't manage their teams based on fantasy baseball, y'all. And so, you know, it's keep an eye out. Okay, the first person on the list for tomorrow's streams is Cade Povich. He is 9% owned, and he has the Guardians, and this is a deep league win chance opportunity here because the Guardian offense is pretty damn good. They're ninth in the league in WRC Plus against lefties. Over the last 30 days overall, they're fifth in WRC Plus, so they're hitting the ball pretty well. So if I'm in any kind of 12-team league, head-to-head roto, it don't matter. I'm not using Cade Povich tomorrow, but if I'm in a deep league, I'm giving it a chance because there is a chance Povich goes five innings and gets you a dub, and that has value. And especially if the last two starts, he's done well. He's gone 10 and two-thirds innings and allowed only one earned run. However, his last time out, he allowed five walks to the Yankees. But against Atlanta, one start to go, he went six innings, six strikeouts, zero earned. So he's been doing pretty well lately. He has a really nice curveball. But the rest of it is a bit suspect, and that's the thing, is that I want to see him start to incorporate the entirety of his pitch mix going forward, because I do think Cade Povich is a guy that can command his pitches pretty well, but I haven't seen him do it enough for me to really trust him, especially against a team like Cleveland. I think Cade Povich is definitely good enough where against weaker offenses, like the lesser, like the bottom half of the league or so, maybe not quite half, but maybe the bottom third or so of the league, you can use Povich. But against a team like Cleveland, I'm fading them hard. Deep leagues, he's 9% owned. You got a decent win chance here. That's about the long and short of the value for Povich tomorrow. Let's talk Taj Bradley, and he has the Mariners, and the big thing to know about the Mariners is that they strike out a ton, right? They strike out a ton, but they also have a lot of pop. They're 14th in the league in WRC Plus against righties now. They are 19th overall in the last 30 days, but things have really been turning around for the Mariners lately, and Taj Bradley does get hit hard. He gets hit particularly hard. His average exit velocity is 91.7. That's the second percentile. The barrel rate is 13.8%. That's the first percentile. Hard hit rate, 14th percentile at 44%. The expected slugging is really high at 481. The XW OBA on contact is 455. Guys, the league average on that is 365. So he isn't just getting hit hard. He's getting hit really hard. However, he's been doing a lot better lately. Over the last three starts, he's gone 18 innings with 21 strikeouts and three earned runs. If you go and look at how he's executing his pitches, and you go look at the plot map of his pitches, you got the fastballs are being spotted up over the past few starts with everything else down low. That's really good separation. So I like what Bradley's been able to kind of start to figure out lately. I just want to give you the caveat here that he is getting hit very, very hard. So there is risk here. However, I do like the fact that he's been turning it around. I do like the fact that this is an excellent, huge strikeout upside kind of game. Taj Bradley strikes out a ton of batters at 28.8% on the strikeout rate, and the Mariners strike out a ton. I did not look it up before it, but y'all remember from the Mariners in previous podcasts, they are like first or second in the league in strikeout rate. They strike out like it's their freaking job. So if I am y'all, and especially if you want some strikeouts, y'all, this is a golden opportunity to get a ton of strikeouts here because Taj Bradley is a huge strikeout arm and the Mariners strike out a ton, but they also hit the ball very hard. So there, like I said, this is one of those where it's a very high risk, but a very high reward coming up tomorrow for Taj Bradley. So in those 12 teams, if you're sitting there looking at your ERA and WHIP, you're doing pretty good in your roto stats there. You got you're up high in your league and you can kind of risk it. I'm loving going with Taj Bradley. You know, for me personally, in a couple of my roto leagues, I'm getting creamed in my ERA and WHIP, so I would avoid someone like Taj Bradley because my strikeouts are already pretty good. Like, I think I'm second or third in those leagues I'm thinking of. So, for me, I'm not using Bradley because my ERA and WHIP are already kind of shot. And I've got good strikeouts, so I'm avoiding Bradley because I'm trying to improve my ERA and WHIP. But if I were inversed, right, if my ERA and WHIP in these leagues were better and I was in the tops in my league in those categories, but I was low on strikeouts, oh, you bet your sweet ass I'm going after Taj Bradley because I would need those strikeouts. And even if he hurt my ERA and WHIP, I would be confident in the fact that the rest of my staff has done well enough to keep those numbers at bay, and Bradley won't necessarily hurt me so much. But in these particular leagues that I'm thinking of, I would not use Bradley because my ERA and WHIP are shot. But in those roto leagues that you need a strikeout bump, Bradley against the Mariners is an excellent option. In all deeper leagues, 14-team leagues and deeper, I'm using Bradley in all scenarios because he does have that kind of potential you don't want to leave on your bench. Alrighty, especially in deeper leagues. All right, y'all, let's talk Griffin Canning. He's 90% owned. He has the athletics, and this is a solid 14-team play and beyond play. So go check to see if he's available in those little bit deeper leagues. He is only 9% owned, so there's a chance. Overall, he has a 5.02 ERA with a 5.37 FIP. That isn't very good. He doesn't have a good strikeout rate because, that strikeout rate is gone. It was 25.9% last year. It's down to 15.4% this year. He does get hit hard. He doesn't have a great strikeout rate. His fastball isn't getting whiffs like it was last year. The whiff rate on that thing is like 13% now. I think it was 25% last year. So it's really the fastball that's the culprit here. So, you know, you kind of keep an eye on that. If the fastball start earning whiffs, then maybe Cannon can be a little more valuable to us. But against Oakland, this is where you're going to get the value, is he has Oakland. And then if you go and look at some of the numbers against his secondary pitches, like the expected WOBA and the expected slugging on his pitches, on his secondary pitches, they're good enough to go with the Oakland Athletics. In particular, his changeup. His changeup has a +7 run value on it. Whew, that's an elite pitch. He has a very good changeup. So when you got a pitcher like Canning who has an excellent changeup, and then his other secondaries like the slider and curve aren't necessarily all that great, but they do earn decent enough whiffs. So the changeup whiff is 25%. The slider whiff is 27%. So he has particular pitches in his pitch mix that he can use to beat the Athletics, right? This isn't overwhelmingly good pitcher profile. It's not. But when you got the Athletics, you don't have to be a great pitcher to have success. So there are some numbers for Canning that says that he can be an option against lesser offenses. And whenever you've got decent numbers against a changeup and a slider like he does, with the expected WOBAs and the expected sluggings against it are both at or below league average, I think that he is good enough that you can consider him in 12-team leagues against the Oakland Athletics. All right, let's talk Luis Medina. And he has the Angels, and he's 2% owned, and this is a decent deep league play. Look, Luis Medina has excellent stuff. He has an electric fastball, a very good curveball. But the problem is, man, he is wildly inconsistent. Wildly inconsistent. So it's really hard to trust Medina. But I am looking at him. I am keeping my eye on him because if he can start to figure it out, if he can start, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Jose Soriano with a plus fastball in terms of velocity. Even though Soriano's a little bit more faster, he's got a little more velocity. But Luis Medina has, I think, 95, 96 on the fastball with excellent curveball. And if if he could just start throwing strikes like Jose Soriano, if he could start to command his pitch and start throwing strikes, then I think that Luis Medina can start to do well. Because, look, he has actually some pretty good numbers on terms of, like, he has the XWOBA on contact is 327, and the league average on that is in the 369. And then the expected slugging against him is 402. The average is somewhere around 407. So he is having some success. He's not allowing super hard contact. He's not necessarily getting creamed altogether, even though he kind of is. Like I said, it's wildly inconsistent. So there are going to be some extremely inflated numbers overall, which is why it's kind of nice to go to the expecteds to kind of give you a kind of an umbrella look. And it's starting to kind of look okay. It's still too inconsistent for me to consider him in anything other than deeper leagues, somewhere around 15 to 16 team leagues deeper, 14 teams. You know, you're kind of pushing it there. Definitely not 12 teams, especially this early in head-to-heads. I'm not using Medina at all. But if you're in a deep league, I think Medina can be a very good dart throw for you because he has electric stuff. He has the matchup with the matchup against the Angels. They're 28th in WRC plus over the last 30 days, so they're scuffling as an offense overall. You can go with Medina in deep leagues. Go for that dart throw because I think the potential is there for him to do well. All right. My next stream is my favorite stream of the day, and it's Spencer Schwalenbach. And it's, before I get into that, let me give out a quick shout out to our friends at on the NFL division, guys. Make sure you're checking out at Ethos Fantasy NFL, at Ethos Fantasy NFL. Got all the draft guide prep going on over there, all the information you need for best ball, sleeper picks, boom or bust, quarterbacks to avoid, running backs to target. Doesn't matter. All the information you need to win your fantasy football league, we got it. All right, Spencer Schwalenbach is my favorite stream for tomorrow, and he's got a lot of excellent numbers working in his favor. His last couple of outings, look, and Schwalenbach is only 13% owned, so more than likely he's available in your league, and he has the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Cardinals are an okay offense lately. They're kind of middle of the pack, but I love Schwalenbach. He has a great win chance whenever he's pitching with the Braves. The last couple of outings, he's gone 6 innings, 1 earned run, 7 strikeouts against the Tigers, 6 innings, 2 earned runs against the Orioles. He had 18 whiffs against the Tigers, y'all. And I think right now, Schwalenbach is at a point where you definitely trust him against middling to lesser offenses. And then the Cardinals count as that. Look, he only had the 20.4 strikeout rate, but that number is climbing, and he has an excellent 15.1% swing and strike rate with a 30.5 CSW. Those are excellent numbers. He is an excellent strikeout upside guy. He's been missing barrels. He's got a good CSW, and get this, he's been avoiding hard contact as well with an 87.7 miles per hour in the exit velocity. And get this, guys, the barrel rate is only 1.6%. Whew! He has been missing barrels. He hasn't been getting hit hard. The expected slugging against him was only 373. The XWOBA against him was 304. The XWOBA on contact is only 338. That average is 369. Those are excellent numbers. He's avoiding hard contact, high strikeout upside, and he has a decent matchup with the Cardinals. I love Schwalenbach for tomorrow. Another guy who I kind of like, not as much as Schwalenbach, but I think that he can be, I'm keeping my eye on him in 12-team leagues. And then deeper leagues, I'm definitely using him. That's Carson Spears. And if he pitches tomorrow, he gets the Pirates. And he has a 320 ERA with a 239 FIP. Now, in his first start, he got hit around in the first inning, but then he settled down. So let's ignore the overall line, what he did last time out against the Pirates, because he had 12 whiffs, and he had bad bat bip luck. He had a 350 bat bip in that game, but he got 12 whiffs. Anytime you get a pitcher that's got 12 whiffs in a ball game, but a high bat bip, To me, that spells bad luck. He had one bad inning. He got rocked around in the first inning. Then he did really well for the next five. So I think we can kind of ignore the overall line, and we can hang our hat on the fact that he got 12 whiffs and a high bat bip. I think that we run it back again. He's going to do very well against the Pirates. You know, you go and look, like I talked about with Taj Bradley, if you go and look at on Baseball Savants or Pitcher List or whatever, wherever you want to go look at the plots of the pitches, it's got the fastballs were up, the slow stuff was down, and that's always the way you want to see a pitcher executing, right? You don't want to see a bunch of pitches in the middle. You obviously don't want to see a bunch of pitches outside the zone. You want to see that kind of fastballs up, the slow stuff down, and you can see the command and how, and you can see the command of those pitches. And Spears is looking really good. He's been avoiding hard contact all year out of the bullpen. Yes, out of the bullpen, but he did go six innings, so he stretched out. 88 on the exit velocity, 5.1% on the barrel, 34.2% on the hard hit rate. Those are all very solid numbers. He also has a very low walk rate of 4.7%. Yeah, the strikeout rate isn't all that there at 18.9%, but he got 12 whiffs against the Pirates last time out. Maybe against lesser offenses, he can avoid more bats and get more strikeouts, but you're not really here for that. You're hoping for someone to help your ERA and whip and get you a win, and I think against the Pirates, I think Spears can do that, and especially if you can ignore that first inning and look at what he did overall in his last time out. I think that Spears can be a solid option in 12 teams, especially in deep leagues. He's only 8% owned. Okay, let's talk James Paxton. Well, let me rephrase what I just said about Spears. He is an iffy 12-10 play. I'm looking at him. I'm watching him for my 12-team leagues, right? If he can do well against Pittsburgh and put it all together, then I think I'm going to be trusting Spears a little bit more moving forward. But if you want to go with him in those 12 teams tomorrow, I would get it, right? He's got the numbers, and I'm not going to be mad at you. So if you're kind of looking for a stream for tomorrow that you think you can risk it for the biscuit, and you missed out on someone like Taj Bradley, and you feel like you can afford a bad start, but you want to go for a dart throw, find some high upside, I think Spears can be that because he has the Pirates. He got the whiffs. There's some upside here, and it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad play. Okay, James Paxton is next. And James Paxton is like the definition of meh, serviceable. He's not very good, but he has the White Sox, so all right. It's the starting pitcher for the Dodgers playing the White Sox. That means win chance. So go for it. So I think that against the White Sox, Paxton could be a decent play in 12 teams, especially with a very good win chance. His peripherals are just terrible, though. His ERA is 3.68. The expected ERA is 4.64. The FIP is 4.94. He's allowing average contact. It's not necessarily super hard, but it's not necessarily super soft. The expected WOBA against him is really bad, but the expected slugging is kind of average. You know, James Paxton is just, he's serviceable. He's a head-to-head volume play on the weekend when you need a win chance. And when he has a bad offense like the White Sox, he becomes more valuable in 12 teams because a better chance that he's going to do well overall and also get you a win. Because overall, you know, James Paxton, you're hoping for five innings and a win, right? That's just general where his value comes in. But when he gets a matchup like the White Sox, he's a good enough pitcher that in 12-team leagues, you can kind of expect maybe a little bit more. He did very well last time out against Colorado. He got, I think it was like 7 or 8 strikeouts in 6 innings. And so I think that there is some upside for Paxton against terrible offenses, and the White Sox are terrible. So you know what? Paxton's not bad. All right, Matt Waldron's the last guy on the list, and he's turned more into a shallow league stream. He's at 56% rostered, and he has the Nationals. And he's got a great strikeout rate. Well, not great, but a solid strikeout rate of 22%, a walk rate of 7.2%. That's pretty good, too. He's been avoiding hard contact with exit velocities and hard hit rates that are elite. And then a barrel rate that's pretty solid. The ERA and FIP, the fielding independent pitching number, are the same at 3.46. So you know what you got with him, right? He's got it. His ERA and FIP are the exact same. And that's a really good sign that he has earned the numbers that you're seeing. So that is some value there in fantasy. Just knowing what you have is a nice comforting thought. And Waldron, you're at a point now where you know what you got. You got a guy that's going to have a mid-3 ERA with solid to okay strikeout upside. Look, his knuckleball has been beautiful. The XWOBA and expected slugging against it are 242 and 292. But his other pitches are doing very well as well. It's not like he's a one-trick pony. He has a nice sweeper, a decent-ish curve. Fastball. The sweeper specifically, though, expected wOBA on is 284. The expected slugging is 337. So it's not like he's a one-trick knuckleball pitcher. Matt Waldron has other pitches that he can execute and do well. So he is a knuckleballer. He generally isn't great to trust a knuckleballer, but when he's got other pitches that he can play with, and the knuckleball has just looked so good lately, it's not one of those things where he's only done it once or twice and you're kind of hoping. No, he's done this start in and start out, start in, start out. He's kind of proved me wrong. I wasn't all that high on Waldron to begin with, and then I kind of started to warm up to him a little bit more a few weeks ago. He was my namesake on one of my podcasts about 2 or 3 weeks ago. I called him Uncle Matty, or Knuckle Matty, I should say. So, I do like Waldron. I've warmed up to him a lot lately. And you know what? He has the Nationals, y'all. He has the Nationals. Yeah, Nationals. I don't know if anybody remembers back whenever they had a misspelling on their jersey. They left out the O. So it literally said Nationals on one of the jerseys. I can't remember the player that wore it, but it was hilarious. So ever since then, I've called them the Nationals. Okay, side story tangent there. You're going with Waldron, though, in all formats. He's a shallow league stream with a 56% ownership, so he's not available in a ton of leagues now. But if he's there, you're going to use him against the Nationals. All right, y'all, that brings me to the end of the podcast. Be sure to check me out at PauloW_34. Rate and subscribe the podcast. Share it out. Tell your friends. Help me support the podcast. Grow it to where it can be. Follow at Ethos Fantasy BB, at Ethos Fantasy BB. Check out the NFL guys at Ethos Fantasy NFL. Check out in the NBA dudes at Ethos Fantasy NBA, where you got Aaron Bruski and Dr. Steven Alexander pumping out content. You got Keston Paul and Mark Camaro and the guys at the NBA division pumping out draft prospect profiles to help you with your fantasy basketball leagues. It has been fun doing this podcast. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Y'all have a great day. Thank you for joining me.
Cam found out that group chats between different phones aren't private.
Or encrypted.
Thank you. We only text in code.
Yes, which I created. I created a code.
Yes. Which can be a little annoying.
Wait, was that your attempt at the code?
You already forgot the code, didn't you?
I should have written it down.
The place to safely send messages between different devices. WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone.
With the $5 meal deal at McDonald's, you pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Price and participation may vary for a limited time only.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.